You'll find in your Bibles first, let me change that. Deuteronomy 6. You have notes in your hand. If you don't, they are free, and you may certainly reach out and find those. I am not doing this sermon of my choice. This was Harold's, and for some reason, Harold, I don't even know if I call this a sermon, but Harold heard about it, and asked me to do this one today. So I've never done a Bible message like this after testimonies like we've had this morning. I hope they fit some way, but I'm not sure exactly how. Well, they should merge. All right. Deuteronomy chapter what? And I'll begin with verse 1. Now, there's a subtitle of what I'm doing. Follow along in your notes, by the way. In the last note on the bottom of the second page, how many pages do you have? Two pages. The bottom note is for you to go home and cover everything I don't take time to cover today. All right, so that leaves it open for all of us to study the matter of legacy. It's going to be a little bit of a different approach to matters. I want you to read the subtitle under Deuteronomy 6 of Legacy and Heritage, The War Against Biblical Legacy and God's Provision and Plan for Victory. Now, in a way, this does tie into a couple's advance because legacy involves our children. It involves our grandchildren. It involves their children and their grandchildren. It just keeps on going. That's what legacy is. Let me make sure that we understand the use of words, though, in this study, and I have prepared a brief dictionary listing. Legacy is that which one generation passes to the next generation. Going to accent legacy today and going to accent the next generation. And I'm going to talk with you a little bit, if I remember to do so, about this whole matter of the disconnect of generations in our present age. Heritage is that which the younger generation receives from the older generation. You need to know those distinctives. Legacy, what we pass on. Heritage is what we receive. War. A conflict between opposites. We are at war today in the matter of legacy. Not anything new. It started way back in the days of Cain and Abel. It started in the days of Adam and Cain and Abel. It's an intergenerational connection. War is a reality among people who think as well as among people who do not think. Next word in my dictionary, against. To oppose for the purpose of crippling, destroying, discrediting, and to render useless. We are in a battle today over legacy. And what I want to do is to try to make that conflict a little bit evident for all of us in order that we can take the steps to make sure that you and I are part of the army that is fighting for the validity of godly biblical legacy. And we are under attack. Next word is, what's the next word? Biblical. That truth that is presented in the 66 books of the Bible, we know it as the word of God. Take a look at that in our study this morning. Legacy. Do I have that twice? Well, it must be a reason. There are two different definitions. Thank you. The next legacy down. That which we teach and live out and provide for our children and the generations which follow us. That's a duplication, I'm sorry. God's provision and plan. His presence, His word, His power, and His truth. So if we're thinking about biblical legacy and you're going to join the battle to make sure that biblical legacy in your life and in your family and in your situation and in your circumstances are going to be effective, you've got to make sure that you have God's provision and God's plan. Which simply means you get to spend more time with Him, His Word, His power, His truth, than you are spending with an ungodly, corrupt culture that is fighting for space in your brain every hour of every day and every minute. Do I need to say that again? It means that if we are going to have God's provision and God's plan, you and I, as individuals, as couples, as family, have to understand more time, that means more time with God, with His Word, with His power, and with His truth. And also, we can add to that, and with His people. We need to understand. Victory. Winning. Not giving up. Refusing the lies of the enemy. Living triumphantly. Being more than a conqueror through Christ. I want you to keep that little dictionary in mind as we jump right into the matter. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, let's get started. I will be through here at 25 when the big hand reaches 7. All right, I'ma quit then. You tag on to some of these things that I'm going to share between now and when the big hand reaches 7, and you go home and do the rest of the reading. Let's start with the matter of legacy in Deuteronomy 6 in verse 1. Now these are by, and I want you to. I want you to fill in the blanks. I told the men the other day, and some of you have been in several of the sessions that I've done over the years, watch this way, if you will. When I do this, that's a blank line, and you are called upon, you are commanded, you are clearly instructed, and you are pled with. When I draw the line, you fill in the blank verbally, out loud, all right? Going back to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1, now these are the... Oh, now we're off to a good start. And the
judgments
which the Lord your God
commanded
to
teach.
You're doing real well. In fact, you're doing better than I could. If I didn't have your help, I'd be fumbling to see these words, all right? Thank you. And to teach you that you might do them in the land where you're going to possess. Verse 2 now. That you might fear the Lord, your God, to keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, and that your son and your son's son. We're going to deal with generational disconnect in this matter of legacy and heritage today. It's a major battle against the victory of a biblical legacy. Take a look in the Deuteronomy 6, 1, 2, and ask these questions. I'm down in the notes now. Number one, am I really doing that? Am I really doing that? And am I abiding in His presence? Am I listening to His commandments and His statutes and His judgments? And am I teaching them to my children? Am I teaching my children to teach them to their children? Am I teaching my children's children to teach to them that they're... You say, wait a minute, that's a little bit further out than I agreed. I wanted to become a mama and I wanted to become a daddy, but I'm not going to take responsibility for those that they birth on this earth. That you teach these to your children and your children's children. My grandparents, our grandparents, my wife and I, thank you, honey. We birthed 4 children. They got 4 more by marriage. They got 9 more by birthing more. And now we own number 6, I think, coming along in the fourth generation? 1, 2, 3. Fourth generation. Did I really agree with God to take on all of that when we birthed that first child? God, you didn't tell me early enough. This is a matter of God the legacy. Am I doing that that is told me to do in Deuteronomy 6? I know some of you have gone astray in a theological understanding. You've gotten some kind of crazy idea that that's in the Old Testament and doesn't apply to you. You're a Gentile instead of a Jew, and you go on all of that. Wait a minute. This is God's commandment. God never gave a bad commandment.
Amen.
God never gave a bad instruction called stature. God never said to us, you can forfeit the idea of judgment. He said, I've given you judgment. I've called on you to exercise judgment. You have the responsibility if you're going to take from me the legacy that I give you. You've got to understand the difference between good and evil. You've got to sit in judgment on that which is evil and judgment on that which is right and choose the proper one. And I'm not going to excuse you under this nonsense of an idea that you should never judge anything. You need to judge everything if you're going to make sure that what you're giving to the next generation is right. You need to evaluate. You need to say, that stinks, this smells nice, that's dirty, that's clean, etc. And if you as a parent are not willing in this unwashed society of our present culture, you will never leave a biblical legacy to your children. Do I need to say that again? Please say, no, I don't have time to say it again. But do I need to say that again? More time with God, more time with His Word, more time with His power, more time with His commandments, more time with His stature, more time with His judgments. And that's where we get involved in the battle for the rightness of biblical legacy. Am I doing that? Next question. If I'm not, why not? Go ahead with your silly excuses for not doing it. God already rejected them, but you can go ahead. If it entertains you, you can go ahead and say, well, God, you know, I did that until the internet came. I did that until I got one of these smartphones. I did that until, etc. No, that's not going to sail. If you want a legacy for your sons and your daughters, your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, if you want it biblical, and if you want to get all the way to the conquering side of life, more time with God, more time with His Bible, more time with His power, more time with His strength, more time with His people, etc. And that's the way of biblical. You know what? If you understand more time with that, you got to have fill in the blank. Let me get you started. Less time with the junk of our present day culture. Less time with the junk of our present day culture. I try to describe some of the things that the Lord started doing in my life after I made a very serious young adult commitment to Him. I want you to look this way. May I use this illustration again? Some of the things that God started doing in my life is best described with this nonverbal illustration. You get the idea? More time with God, more time with God, more time with His Word, more time with His power, more time with His people, more time with His truth, less time with that ungodly culture that is trying to change the legacy that you have passed to the next generation. Do you like that? You don't like it. Do you like that? All right, if you like it, let's stick with it. Next thing on the line, if not, am I doing that? Look at the questions. Am I doing that? If not, why not? Last question, if not, have I asked my children to forgive me? If you haven't done it already, have you asked your children to forgive you? Have you been willing to confront the conflict that you had with your parents and what you thought you got as a heritage, because that's the other sign? If you haven't dealt with your parents and the matters of their legacy and your heritage, have you gone to your parents and asked them to forgive you? This matter of legacy and heritage is a very serious matter. A young lady came into my office some years ago and totally distraught in all of life, mad with the element of legacy and heritage in her family, really upset. I talked to her about going back to her parents, and especially to her grandparents. And she said, my granddad is dead, and I don't even know where he's buried. I asked her, how about your grandmama? Well, she lives right here in town. I said, here's what I'm going to suggest that you do. You need to clear the guilt in your own life. I suggest that you go to your granddaddy's cemetery and have a prayer time between you and the Lord. This is crazy counseling. I don't recommend that you follow. But go back and clear the guilt between you and your grandparents. Well, I don't even know where my grandfather's buried. Said, your grandmother knows, why don't you go to her? I don't even know where my grandmother lives. She said she lived somewhere here in town, but I've never been to her house. Have you asked your children to forgive you if you failed? Have you been willing to confront your failure in receiving the legacy that they may have improperly given you? But we got to deal with the matter. Harold's spontaneous sermons, and Harold's spontaneous sermons are a whole lot better than my best planned ones said. But a spontaneous sermon on forgiveness is something we've got to deal with, perhaps, in the struggle, in the battle of biblical legacy. I want to go quickly to the next subject matter. I want to talk with you a little bit about the war against biblical legacy today. I'm going to give you some illustrations that I've accumulated over the years. And one of the reasons we believers in Christ need to understand, and I wouldn't recommend that you spend a lot of time concentrating on this war against it, but if some of us have had to go through this already, it probably is good to mention some of these things. Let me give you an illustration. Some of you have heard of the conflict of legacy and heritage in a family named Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. You've heard of them. They're somewhat noted around here. And the problem of a snake, I think you called on to all of that. That's when it all got started. This problem of legacy and heritage started not in the days of modern-day German philosophers, theologians. Started way back at the beginning. And you and I are going to have to struggle with it. We may as well go ahead and face that. Satan, the snake, lined up a battle against me being a daddy and you and you mothers, you women being mothers. He lined that up. He put it into focus right off the bat of human history. And the struggle still goes. But that thing has come out in ways in modern-day society. I want to quickly tell you a little story. One little teeny thing I read out of a little book that I got out of a government-funded library. I'd been challenged with a lawsuit, personal lawsuit, for saying things that these people thought I shouldn't say because they said they were wrong. And when they told me that they were going to sue me over the matter, and I was doing it quite publicly, I avoided the lawsuit by telling the fella, I said, you're going to sue me for saying what you said I said? And he said, yeah. I said, well, this is best. Some of the best news I've heard all day. I've been trying to get a larger audience for what I've been saying, and if you sue me, I'm going to get on the front pages, and I'm going to cook your goose. I don't think I said that last phrase. I just thought you would enjoy it. All right. Well, when I told them I would very much welcome the lawsuit, they withdrew the lawsuit, but then they went to a local TV station and said, we want to have a public dialogue on your program at night on your TV station, and we want to put a fellow named Bob Alderman on the hot seat. And they agreed to do it, and they called me, the TV station called me and said, would you do it? And I said, I'd be happy to. I've been looking for a large audience. I thought I was going to get it on the front page of the newspaper. I'll take it on your television program. So in getting ready for that, I went around to some of the libraries that our government has funded, and I pulled off quite a few books. But one little book really gave me an insight into what we were fighting in our Christian legacy struggle. I read this one little phrase. Now, I'm a bad researcher. I failed to make a note of which book it was. I remember the verbatim talk. Be kind to your parents. I like that. Comma, not a period. Be kind to your parents, comma, even though they don't deserve it. The battle with the snake still rages. Rages in your life and in my life. If you and I have not settled the matter of a biblical legacy, we really need to get with it in a great way. So that's just a part of the battle. Now, here's another illustration, if you will. In the universities, I'm reading my note from near the top of page 2. In the universities, which, by the way, today should not be called universities any longer. They should be called diversities. And I hope you'll understand that, and I hope you'll realize it, that if you choose some of these universities today, you're sending your child to a diversity, which is the flagship flag of everything that is ungodly. But I picked up this quotation from some studies that had been done. I want to just go down to the bold print at the bottom. I give the detail. This was from a fellow named Richard Rorty. He's deceased now. He's a former professor of sociology at the University of Virginia. And he was speaking to somebody about the matter of whether or not there's a conspiracy today among diversity professors as to whether they're seeking to overthrow Christian legacy in our society. Here's what he said. When we American college teachers encounter religious fundamentalists, we are going to go right on trying to discredit you. That's you. That's you mamas. That's you daddies. That's you grandparents. We're going to go right on trying to strip your fundamentalist religious community of dignity, trying to make your view seem silly rather than discussable. That's a war for legacy. You and I need to be aware that it is raging in that specific way. I want to give one other contemporary illustration very quickly. And by the way, Christ Life Ministries is not political. And I'm getting ready to venture into territory where some of you are going to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm speaking to you about the battle against biblical legacy, and this illustration has to be brought out. But in the contemporary world of American politics, during the run-up to the presidential election of 2016, a certain candidate for that was quoted by the Faith and Freedom Foundation as saying in a speech delivered at the Women's World Summit on April 23rd, 2015. I document that. Here is what was said. Laws, and I'm going to explain it, laws have to be backed up with resources. I mean, if we pass a law in the world of politics, we got to back that law passing with resources. If we decide to go to war, we got to buy guns, etc. But that's not what they were talking about. But we have to back our laws with resources. Meaning the strong arm ability to force its ways on the public. And with political will to do it. And deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed. Basically saying, if you don't like the morality that our government is enforcing in its laws, we're going to force you to like it. If you teach your children when they grow up and become a baker that they will have to bake cakes for homosexual weddings, if there is such a thing. That's where we are in the world of politics. We've got churches jumping like crazy on board with that kind of reason. We are losing in that category the battle for biblical literacy and biblical legacy as well. Now, I know some of you are not going to like that, but I didn't come here to get you to like me. I came here to help us all understand the battle. Well, scratch that. I really would like for you all to like me. So let me back up and say, and I would like for you to exercise some of the things that I'm trying to say about legacy and heritage and put it into practice and make sure that you are doing the things that Deuteronomy 6 verses 1 and 2 and the following verses tell us to do. And when you do all of that and you see the beautiful result of it and you see your children and your grandchildren growing up under your legacy and their heritage and it's a blessing to everybody, I hope you'll just take a minute and say, you know, I really appreciate Alderman saying all of that he did. I really like that fella again. That's not why I'm here, though. All right, now let's see. I said I've got 5 minutes before the big hand reaches seven. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, if you will, and let's and let's take care of some of these things that we need to exercise. Here's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start in verse 3. And this is the bottom note that I have on page 2 that we will just go through starting in chapter 6 and verse 1. We'll just start going through the rest of that chapter and understand some of the implications of providing this to our sons and our sons' sons, our daughters and our daughters' daughters and sons, etc. Let's go to verse 3 now. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do that you may, that it may be well with you and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land where you're going. Verse 4, hear, now watch the instructions, keeping up, go back to verse 2 and let's look at them and go down the line. Verse 2, fear the Lord. Line, second line in verse 2, keep, go on down to verse 3, hear therefore, go down to verse 4 again, that was verse 3, verse 4, hear, go down to verse 5, love, etc., and all of these things are a part of that legacy that we need to be doing. These are a part of the preparations of them. Are you teaching your children to fear the Lord? I had somebody tell me one day that they had invited somebody else to attend the church that I pastor, Shenandoah Baptist in Roanoke here, and the man just got upset, said, you going to that church? Bob Alderman is teaching people to get afraid of God. And when I said that, I said, I want to say, you think I'm doing a good job of it? I really, you know, I get an idea from the Bible that God himself is interested in us having a fear of him. Now, let me describe for you what that fear. We need to teach our children to fear God. From this standpoint, that when another new gimmick of hell comes into their presence and they start considering it, their first question is, you know, before I listen to this rotten, filthy culture about this thing coming into my life, I better check with God, see what he thinks about it. I'm more concerned what he says than I am what these rats in the sewage system of modern culture think about it. Now, that's fearing God. And if we're going to leave the legacy that we need to leave, we've got this: hear, teach, keep, and love. I'm not going to have time to go through all of these, but let's take a look at verse 7, if you will. No, go back to verse 6. These words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. That's a commandment of God. You say, God, you can't command that something will be in my heart. Yes, I can, and I'm doing it, and I'm telling you now. Go to verse 7. You shall teach them diligently unto your children. Number next in verse 7, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And that's about everything we do in our house. That's a physical profile. And if you can find something else to do in your house, then you're excused from teaching these things to your children. God is a fanatical God. And when God lays claim to what you and I ought to be doing, have you ever noticed that he doesn't leave any room left for us to be doing something other than what he's commanded us to be doing? And you and I cannot go back and adjust God's judgment system. We can't go back and adjust God's order. Let's move on down and go to verse 8. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall... Well, you get the idea. Go to verse 9. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on their gates. Let's go to verse 12. Therefore beware lest you forget the Lord. Go to verse 14. You shall not go after other gods. Verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord their God. Verse 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, and as he has commanded you. Go to verse 18, and you shall do that which is right and good. And to do what is right and good, you've got to be a person that is willing to judge matters, teachings, things, people, and cultures. And you've got to sit in judgment, and you've got to do that which you got to make a decision between what is right and good. I'm going to give you where the big hands at seven. I'm going to steal 30 seconds more. For us to know what is right and good, there's a little rule that I follow. I ask three questions. I take a look at what society has thrown in our face and tried to cram down our brain. And I ask this question: where did that come from? Where is it now? And where is it going? You need to sit in judgment on all of that. I told the men a little story yesterday. It's been an illustration that has... Well, first of all, I apologize for the sin I'm about to commit because the big hand is past seven. But you'll get over that one, all right? So will I. But I want to give an illustration about a parent-child relationship that I had many years ago when one of our daughters was only about this tall. Men, I told you yesterday, you can take a nap while I tell the ladies. That is, if you remember. If you don't remember it, stay awake and get it. I was sitting at one of my desks one day in our home, and our daughter walked in the room where I was sitting, and she said, "Daddy, I need to talk with you." And I said, "All right." And she said, "Some of the young people around, some of my friends are getting ready to go here and do this." And she spelled it out. And she said, "I would just like to know if I may go with them." And I, at that moment, had one of my beautiful thoughts. Well, it's very important for me to be popular with my daughter and popular with these young people. And so I meditated on the question a little bit, and I said, "I tell you what I'm going to do, honey." I call my children honey, and I call them a lot of sweet names. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you make that decision. Now, I want you to look at me right now. I know I'm handsome enough for you to endure that for 30 seconds. All right, please look. I want to describe what I saw in my daughter when I said to her, "I'm going to let you make that decision." And then she walked out of the room. She got down the hallway a little bit, and I looked at myself, and I had to do what Ed talked to us men about. I had to talk to myself. And I said to myself, "You sorry daddy. Your daughter trusted you to help her, and you didn't." So I called her back. She came back into the room, and I said, "Honey, forget what I just told you. I'm going to make the decision for you." And the answer is, no, you can't go with them, and you can't do that. And here, I want you to look at me again and do 15 more seconds. Thank you, Daddy. You shall teach them to your children, to your sons, to your sons' sons. And you shall do them when you sit in your house, when you walk, when you lie down, etc., etc., etc. God does not give us time out, any time, from doing that. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to teach us how to love those that come after us. Thank you for loving us enough to let us spend time with you, with your power, with your word, with your people. Thank you for mamas and dads and grandparents who care enough to be at a prayer advance. Thank you for teaching us truth to live victoriously in a world of lies and errors. And we give you praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.